18. We're going to continue in a series that we've entitled The People of the Bible. There's nothing more than I really dread and really honestly with hate more than moving. I think since Donna and I have been married, we have moved over 16 different times, sometimes multiple times in the same year. I just dread moving, but if you ever need some expert on moving, I'm an expert packer, I'm an expert mover, so if you ever need some help, I didn't say unloading and loading, just packing, I'll be more than happy to be a help to you. We kind of got the thing down after 16 different times. But as we continue to look at people in the Bible, we're going to be looking at a couple who are always on the move. But in this case, they weren't on the move for jobs. They weren't on the move just for pleasure. They were on the move for none other than God himself. And their names are none other than Aquila and Priscilla. And as we follow them, we find them, first of all, living in Rome, and then they moved to Corinth, and then they moved to Ephesus, and finally we see them moving back to Rome. The name Aquila means eagle, and the name Priscilla means little Prisca. And she's called Prisca in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 19, where the Bible says, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus." And so depending on what Bible commentary you read or what Bible dictionary you look at, you find that her name can mean several different things. Her name can mean precious, or it could mean primitive. And I'm under the impression that it means precious because of really who she was. And whenever we read of them in the Bible, guess what? They're always mentioned together. Not one time are they ever mentioned separately. They are mentioned in the Bible on six different occasions, and I found this to be very interesting as I studied this couple. We find that Aquila is mentioned first three times, and Priscilla is mentioned first three times. So we understand this, that they were one physically, but they were also one spiritually. And they're a wonderful example of a husband and wife that were a team that would work for the Lord. And I have no doubt that these two, Aquila and Priscilla, were very close to each other. And what a blessing it is to see a husband and a wife serving the Lord Jesus Christ together with all their might and all their soul. Hudson Taylor said this, "A light that does not shine beautifully around the family table at home is not fit to rush long way off to do a great service somewhere else." You see, the light of Aquila and Priscilla really shone brightly all around the world, not only at their family table. Perhaps I believe they were truly, as Paul writes, heirs together in the grace of life. The Bible doesn't tell us when they became Christians, just that they were Christians. Some Bible scholars have suggested to you and I that they seem that Paul had led them to the Lord when he met them in the town of Corinth. Perhaps others say they were saved just prior to meeting Paul. But whatever the case is, we find that in verse number 3 of our text, we'll look at in just a moment, that they came together because of their trade, and their trade was none other than tent making. Paul also was always a worker. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 8, the Bible says this, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, for wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." You see, the Apostle Paul just didn't go into a city and say, "Hey, I'm God's man here. You need to take care of me and do things that I ask you to do." He said, "I'm going to work." He said, "I don't want to be chargeable to any of you." Others seem to think that Aquila and Priscilla were saved and became followers of Jesus Christ a very long time before they met the Apostle Paul. But again, thinking about this matter, does it really matter when they were saved? And I have to say, no, it doesn't matter when they were saved. What really matters was that at some point in time in their life, they have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. I once heard someone say this, that salvation is like chicken pox. If you have it, it will pop out all over you, amen. And I believe that's the case with Aquila and Priscilla. I believe that they had a good dose of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. I believe they loved the Lord, had a good dose of salvation, and it popped out all over them. Although the record of their salvation hasn't ever been recorded for us in the Bible, everything about their life tells us that they had met the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were, get this now, devoted followers of Him. So let's pray and get better acquainted with these great Christian couple. And by the names of Aquila and Priscilla, a couple on the move for the Lord. So let's stand as we give respect to the reading of God's word. We'll read Acts 18, verses 1 through through verse number 4, and then we'll pray. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for their occupation. They were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our hearts and our knee before you this morning, Lord, we pray and ask that your blessings be upon the reading and preaching of your word. Father, I pray that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. Father, may husbands and wives and Christian couples today be edified and uplifted in the things of the Lord. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you. Save the lost out of here today, Father, and be with those that are ministering to the children in other areas of this campus. So, Father, we do love you and thank you. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. If I could just have a little bit more monitor, please, I would appreciate that so very much. So as we study Aquila and Priscilla, I want us to notice three different inspiring characteristics of this wonderful couple. So as we study Aquila and Priscilla, I want you to notice, first of all, how helpful they were to the men of God. How helpful they were to the men of God. In our text, we learn the very important and inspiring characteristics about Aquila and Priscilla. We read of how they helped the men of God in their ministries. Through the years, God has brought different men, and I say men, I mean ladies as well, and even some children, or I guess a better word might be people, into my life that have become my good friends. They have helped me in the ministry, and they've been faithful friends to me down through the years. I really can never express in words the great depth of love that I and appreciation that I have for these kind of people. Some of these people are sitting right here in the service today. Some others are in churches that I have pastored and ministered to, and yet some others have already graduated and are in heaven today. Aquila and Priscilla were that kind of people. They had a great heart for God's man. In Acts chapter number 18, we see that we see two men that were befriended and they were helped in their ministry. Notice first of all in verses 1-3, notice the encouragement of Paul. The encouragement of Paul. In the opening of Acts chapter number 18, we find Paul at a very low point and his very demanding ministry. He had experienced riots. By now, he's already been thrown in jail. He fled persecution on two different occasions and a lot more occasions as we study through the rest of the book of Acts. And in one place, experienced a total rejection of his message of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he provided for them. You see, his second missionary journey had produced some fruit, but it had come at a great cost to the Apostle Paul. And when he arrived at Corinth, he was no doubt weary in soul and no doubt weary in his body. And it was during this low time in Paul's life that God brought Aquila and Priscilla into his life. You see, they were tent makers by trade. You see, that was the same trade that the Apostle Paul learned earlier in his life. You see, in ancient Israel, no matter all Jewish boys, no matter what rank you were in that society, had to learn a trade. That even rabbi's sons had to learn some kind of trade. So no doubt, Paul learned this trade of tent making from his father. You see, Aquila and Priscilla were originally from Rome, and they hadn't been in Corinth for very long because the Bible says that they left Rome because of Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave the city. And as they arrived in Corinth, they did only what they knew to do, and that was to get a job, and they set up a tent-making business there in Corinth. And when Paul arrived from Athens, it was his trade, and God supernaturally put these three people together, and they gave him a job and open up their home to the Apostle Paul. You see, during a week, we find that Paul worked with Aquila and Priscilla. But then notice in verse number 4 of our text what it says. It says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 3, we find the Apostle Paul referring to Aquila and Priscilla, get these words, as my helpers in Christ Jesus. Boy, I haven't caught a lot of things, amen. But that's a good name to be called, a helper in Christ Jesus. That word helper speaks of a fellow helper. It speaks of a co-laborer. So we find that Paul found Aquila and Priscilla, friends that helped in the ministry. Understand this, and I believe this to be true. They helped him financially by giving to the work that the Apostle Paul did. But even more than that, they helped him spiritually by being helpers to him for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that one of the gifts that's given to some believers after they are saved by the Holy Spirit of God is called this? It's the gift of helps, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 28. You see, I believe that you that are sitting here today are saying, well, God hasn't given me a gift. Number one, that's not true, because the Bible teaches that he gives at least one gift to every believer at the moment of your salvation. That's a spiritual gift. And some of you have been given the gift of helps. Maybe you can't teach very well. Maybe you can't administrate very well. Maybe you can't do this or you can't do that. But listen, all of us should have this gift to help. But it just seems like there's some people that is what they do. They can't plan and they can't organize, but you give them a task and man, they'll be right there and they'll take care of that. Maybe some of you I'll be thinking about, is this the gift and the ministry that the Lord has given me? You see, Aquila and Priscilla were no doubt a breath of spiritual fresh air to the weary man of God on the second missionary journey. They not only provided a roof over his head, but they gave him great encouragement to the Apostle Paul's heart. And to be quite honest with you, in the day that we live today, most of us on a regular basis don't need a roof over our head or food in our refrigerator. Now, I know sometimes that might be the case, but all of us, it seems like all the time, could use some encouragement to our soul and some encouragement to our heart. Not only did they give him a job, but they did something else. They brought joy to the Apostle Paul. They became close friends to whom the Bible says that he would always give thanks. In Romans 16, and verse 3 and 4, we find Paul writing, and he says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." You see, get this morning, church, that God always knows just what we need. And at times he meets our needs by those that he sends into our lives. And so, my friend, you never know, that person that you're sitting beside might be sent by God just to meet some kind of need inside your life. And so we find Paul writing to the Corinthians spoke of Titus and the joy that he felt. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." Get this. Aquila and Priscilla were the same source of refreshment to the Apostle Paul. Aquila and Priscilla was no doubt a gift from God the Father, and they took him into their lives at a time when he needed someone just like them to come in and be an encouragement to him. Thank God for people that are like Aquila and Priscilla, who are sources of encouragement to us when we most desperately need it. Well, not only did Aquila and Priscilla encourage Paul, but notice something else. They edified a second man, a man by the name of Apollos. Look in our text down in verses 24 and verse number 26. Notice the edification of Apollos. Just as God brought Aquila and Priscilla into the life of Paul at the time when he needed it, he brought them into the life of Apollos at a very, very important time. And notice what the Bible says in verses 24 through verse number 26. Oh, sorry, turn my page over. The Bible says that a certain Jew named Apollos, from born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So we see Apollos had become a follower of Jesus Christ under the ministry of John the Baptist. And the Bible said he was a skilled speaker and he was a dedicated scholar of God's word. But there were just some things about the gospel that he didn't understand. And because he didn't understand the gospel, he couldn't effectively preach and teach the gospel. And that's where Aquila and Priscilla comes in. They heard him preaching, the Bible said, boldly in the synagogue. And noted that he taught diligently the things of the Lord. Yet he knew, Bible said in verse number 25, only the baptism of John. While he was preaching the truth, and it was an accurate truth, he didn't have the full knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because the Bible says that Apollos only knew the work of John the Baptist, it's likely that he preached that the Messiah had come. He knew that John the Baptist pointed at Jesus and said, here's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He understood that, and he knew that. He knew that we must respond and repent and put our faith and trust in him. But probably he had very little knowledge of the full person and the full work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find then in love, Aquila and Priscilla took him in and helped him to better understand the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I noticed something here, by the way, to give Apollos a little bit of credit here. He allowed them to do that. How many of us, if we would be a diligent study student of God's word and a fervent preacher of righteousness or a teacher of in our Sunday school class, how many of us would receive if two deacons came, listen, we appreciate what you're doing, but let me help you. Let me expound some things to you. Let me give you a little bit of knowledge on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, would you have received what Aquila and Priscilla had said if they came to you or two deacons from this church would come to you? I like to say, I believe, yes, you would, but the truth, because of our fleshly nature that we live in, some of us would not have done that. But to Apollos' credit, he allowed them to teach them. And their actions indicate the depth of the knowledge that they had of the things of God and the Word of God. Notice that word expounded literally means to put out. It's the idea of exposing something or explaining something. And they explained to him the way of God more perfectly. They explained to him things more accurately than he had done before. I also find it very interesting how Aquila and Priscilla approached Apollos. If it had been you and I, we would have done this. We would have stood up after hearing him preach and teach in the synagogue. We'd have pointed our bony fingers at him, and we would have rebuked him in front of everyone for his ignorance of the word of God. But notice, that didn't happen. Aquila and Priscilla didn't put on a holier-than-thou and a know-it-all attitude towards him. As a matter of fact, they approached Apollos in a loving and thoughtful way. Notice the phrase in verse 26. They took him unto them. It describes perhaps how they opened up their home and opened up their hearts to this man. One Bible scholar suggested this. They took him to home for a dinner, and I thought to myself, well, that would be the Baptist thing to do, amen? I don't know if that's the case or not, but there's no doubt Aquila and Priscilla came with humility and the love of Jesus Christ to talk to him about what Jesus Christ meant to them and what all that he had done, expounding the scriptures unto them. And I believe if you were to ask Apollos today, the impact of that dinner or that time that they had with him helped him become a more effective preacher of the gospel, a more effective servant of God the Father. And probably Apollos would point to that evening and he would say, this has been a life-changing moment deep in my life. You see, the Bible tells us Apollos had been educated in the finest schools of his day. But God took a humble husband and a humble wife and taught him more than he ever learned in all the classrooms that he had been in. Thank God for those that God sends our way. Thank God for the ones that he sends to encourage us. but also for those that he sends to edify our lives with. And when we think about Aquila and Priscilla and how helpful they were to the man of God, there's some questions that you and I ought to ask ourselves. We should ask ourselves this, if we are that kind of people that blesses and benefits others, are we the kind of people that blesses and benefit others? Is there anyone who gives thanks to God for us? And lastly, are there others who have been helped by us to better know the Lord, to love the Lord, or at the very least, serve the Lord? And if we can't answer those questions, my friend, there's something amiss in our life. And we need to liken ourselves to Aquila and Priscilla and have some of those qualities in our life. Well, not only do we see how helpful Aquila and Priscilla was to the man of God, but then notice something else. Notice how faithful they were in the work of God. They were helpful first, but then they were faithful. I think another interesting characteristic of Aquila and Priscilla is that no matter where you find them living, they were always, let me repeat that, always serving God. Whether they're living in Corinth, whether they're living in Ephesus or back in Rome, they were faithful in the work of God. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? We find a faithful couple in Aquila and Priscilla here. In Aquila and Priscilla, we find that they are faithfully serving God's men. They are faithful in the work of God. In Romans chapter number 16, Paul mentions Aquila and Priscilla and speaks of their faithfulness in the work of God. First, he speaks of the service they were willing to give, the service that they were willing to give. Again, we'll read Romans 16 and verse number 3. Paul writes saying, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. We've already seen that word helper speaks of how they were companions or how they were fellow laborers with the work of Paul for God. And it would seem that from time they met the Apostle Paul, both Aquila and Priscilla attached themselves to Paul and worked with him in any way that he could to help him in his ministry, any way that Paul sought fit to do so. Look in verse number 18, the last part of that verse. You even find that when Paul left Corinth, he took them with him. The Bible says, then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria. And with him, guess who was with him? They were attached to him, Priscilla and Aquila. You see, Aquila and Priscilla had become good friends with Paul. But they were more than just good friends. They were valuable partners or helpers in Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul said. It also shows the loyalty and devotion that Aquila and Priscilla had to Paul and to the work of God. So the question for you and I today is simply this. Do you have that kind of devotion? Do you have that kind of dedication that you'd be willing at a drop of the hat to move your place of employment, to move your place of business, to move the home that God has given you to go do a greater work for the cause and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, they had worked with Paul during the 18 months that they lived together in the city of Corinth. But when it came time to leave, they didn't just wave goodbye and go back to their trade of making tents. They didn't just say, well, thank God now, Aquila, we have one less person we have to split the profits with now. We'll make a little bit better income. No, they didn't do that. They packed up and they followed him, continuing to a new place to do a greater work for God. I like what A.W. Tozer has to say. He said, God wants to humble you and fill you with himself and control you so that you can become a part of the eternal work of God wants to do in our day. You see, Aquila and Priscilla were part of what God wanted to do in their day. Just like God wants every believer, he wants every member, every born-again person here attending Sharon Baptist Church, whether you're a member, a regular attender, or a visitor, he wants you to be a part of his work in your own day. So again, the questions for you this morning are, what are you doing for God? How are you serving God? Are you a helper in Christ Jesus, as Aquila and Priscilla were? Again, I ask another question this morning. What part are you playing in the divine plan of God as the master architect of your life for you? Each of us has a role. Each of us has a place to serve in God's work. You see, Paul was the preacher. We could say today a pastor. And Aquila and Priscilla were his helpers. And listen, you say, well, if I can't be the pastor, I'm not going to be a helper. Listen, never underestimate the importance of the helpers. You've all heard this saying before. We have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Particularly if you work for the federal government, you know that to be true. Each of us has a role to play. And the importance of helpers are very important. Listen, here's the truth. The church could not function without the helpers. You should find a place where God has for you to work. And then, as Aquila and Priscilla were, just be faithful to that work. Well, notice something else. The sacrifices they were willing to make. The sacrifice they were willing to make. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 4, Paul gives us just a little bit of the hint of the depth of the faithfulness of Aquila and Priscilla. You see, there's people who are faithful, then there's people who are faithful, amen? And you can derive between the two, a person who's faithful and the person who is faithful. He speaks of those who have for my life laid down their own necks. Think about that. Paul says, listen, these two, Aquila and Priscilla, are so faithful, the depths of their faithfulness is so much, they were willing to lay down their own necks for my own personal life. You know, these words that are here in Romans 16 and verse number 4 are found nowhere else in all the Bible. And they literally mean this. It means to be placed under the axe of an executioner. So he's saying that Aquila and Priscilla were willing to have their head chopped off for me. That's the depth of their faithfulness to the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. At some point, we don't know what point that was, Aquila and Priscilla risked their life for the Apostle Paul. Some Bible scholars, and I believe it's probably true, that it was in Ephesus during the uproar that was caused by Demetrius the silversmith. But whenever that was, they risked their life for the Apostle Paul. You see, the depths of the devotion can be seen that they were willing to lay down their own lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. Someone said this, as an early church father said this, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the New Testament church. There's an example I want to give to you from a wonderful book that Pastor James has mentioned numerous times. It's entitled The Fox's Book of Martyrs. It was during the time of Emperor Marcus Aurelius that a widow by the name of Felicitas was alive, and she had 7 different sons, and she instructed them in Christianity and instructed them in the things of Jesus Christ. And all 7 sons and herself, what we would say today, were born again believers. At some point, she and her sons were called before the emperor of Rome, and he tried in vain to induce them to deny their worship and their faith in Jesus Christ and begin to worship the false gods that he worshiped. And began to appeal to the feelings of the mother, and she replied this back to the emperor, that her sons would know how to choose between everlasting life and everlasting death. And one by one, her sons were required to renounce Jesus Christ. But their mother exhorted them to stand firm and reminded them with what great reward awaited them in glory if they resisted. And as she stood by, she saw her eldest son scourged with loaded thongs till he died. The next two were beaten with wooden clubs till they died. The fourth was flung from a cliff alive, and he died. The 3 other were beheaded right in front of her. Then in the midst of all of her dead 7 sons, she praised God that he had allowed her 7 sons to be counted worthy to die for the name of Jesus Christ. Then after a very prolonged and excruciating torture period, she herself was beheaded. That, my friend, is faithfulness. I've often wondered if suddenly on the Sunday morning, someone burst through this back door, stormed into our service, and had some automatic weapons and some pistols, and maybe held a bag that we thought contained a bomb or something along that way. I wonder, as they came down to the aisle and demanded that people renounce their faith or be killed, I wonder how would the people at Sharon Baptist Church respond if someone did that? I couldn't help but really wonder what they would say and what they would do. I wonder how many would stand knowing that it means if they stand and give glory to Jesus Christ, they immediately would be shot. I can't help but feel when you see and consider the shallowness of our devotion to Jesus Christ that perhaps many inside this church this day would never stand. You see, it's hard enough to get Christians to be faithful to two services on Sunday. It's hard enough to get Christians to be faithful to soul winning. It's hard enough to get Christians to be faithful to the Wednesday prayer and Bible study. What makes me think that they'd be faithful when faced with a life or death situation, that they would stand and give glory to God? Well, Aquila and Priscilla were helpful to the man of God. They were faithful to the work of God. But then notice lastly how careful they were for the church of God. A third inspiring characteristics of Aquila and Priscilla has to do with the local New Testament church. We read in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. We also read in Romans 16 and verse number 5 that as Paul spake of Aquila and Priscilla, he writes, likewise, greet the church, get this now, that is in thy house. Seems to me that the church was a vitally important place in the life of Aquila and Priscilla. And I believe that the church ought to be an important part of every Christian's life. If you're serious about serving God, the local New Testament church ought to be of utmost importance in your life. And here's the truth, whether you like it or not, you can judge the depth of a person's love and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ by the place the local New Testament church plays in their life. If the local New Testament church doesn't play a big part in their life, that tells me that they don't have as much love for Jesus Christ as they say they do. Somebody say, amen, glory, hallelujah. Preach it, Pastor. That's good. Preach it again. Say it again. I'm going to. You can judge the depth of a person's love and devotion for the Lord, but the place they put the local New Testament church at in their life. Well, Aquila and Priscilla, we see a couple that, number one, was building the church. And it was common in the New Testament days for churches to meet in houses. They didn't have buildings with steeples like we do today, let alone have one just about on every corner. In many cases, the church had to meet in secret. And where they met and when they met was really a secret in order that they would not be persecuted. And the homes of members were often the places where the local new church gathered. They gathered to fellowship. They gathered to observe the Lord's Supper. They heard the preaching of God's word there in that home. And lastly, they worshiped together as a body of believers. Aquila and Priscilla opened up the doors of their home and made their home a church building. And they had left Rome years earlier, and now we see that they had returned. And maybe the first thing that they did after arriving back in Rome was to start a local New Testament church inside their home. And they wanted to be sure that any believers that were there in Rome had a place to assemble together as God has commanded them to do, according to Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Just imagine for a moment just what that really meant. That meant their home was a place where God's word was going to be proclaimed. It was a place where people grew and were edified in the things of the Lord. It was a place where God's people knelt on their knees and fell prostrate on the ground and prayed to God. It was a place where sinners were saved and set free from the bondage of sin. Aquila and Priscilla were a couple that worked to see a church was built in their city. Thank God for people who love the church and want to build it for the glory of God. Someone has written this quote: there are two classes of people who manifest in every church. Some are constructive and others are destructive. Some are positive and others are negative. What a difference their attitude made in the work of Christ. I wonder, which would you be? Would you be on the construction gang Or would you be classified as being on the wrecking crew of a local New Testament church? Aquila and Priscilla were definitely on the construction crew. They were builders of the church, but they noticed something else, and then we'll be done. They were a blessing to the church. It's pretty obvious to me, and no doubt to you as well, by what Paul speaks about and writes about Aquila and Priscilla, that they were a blessing to that local New Testament church. No matter where they lived, they were a blessing to that place. It didn't matter whether Rome or Ephesus or Corinth or back in Rome again. It made no difference where they were at. They blessed the local New Testament church. No matter where they were around, they were always a blessing to those people. They were a blessing to Paul and Apollos. They were a blessing to the believers that met in their house for that early New Testament church. Unfortunately, there were some members who were not a blessing to be around, but they were a burden to their church, and they're a burden to be around. Someday we'll take a look at a life of a man by the name of Diotrephes, and he was someone who really hurt the church instead of helped the church. But Aquila and Priscilla were a couple that were a blessing and not a burden to their local New Testament church. So as we close this morning, think on these questions. What are you this morning? Are you helping or hindering the man of God? Are you faithful to the work of God? Are you working for the glory of God and not your own personal recognition? Do you desire to see this local New Testament church grow and prosper for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm reminded of what Paul writes in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also so loved the church and gave himself for it." Let me ask you, church. Christ gave himself for the church or the body of believers. Have you? Aquila and Priscilla had three inspiring characteristics that we need to emulate inside of our lives as well. They were helpful to the man of God. They were faithful to the work of God. And they were careful for the church of God. That's at least that we ought to be. Do you have these three inspiring characteristics in your life?